Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, First Things First.
Our first gospel lesson this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Let's together listen to this, the word of our Lord. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our second reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, beginning at verse 29. "And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying, for it is the nations of the world who strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the word of our Lord. And let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day provided to us once again. We ask now, Lord, your blessing on our lives, Lord, as we hear your word. And so, Lord, may the words of my mouth and also the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This week begins our season of Lent together. And for those of you that may or may not know, Lent is a time of reflection and renewal as we walk our way to Easter, where we will ultimately encounter the crucified but the victorious risen Christ as well. But like any journey, we must start at the beginning, and we have to ask ourselves, how do we prepare for this season? And I truly believe that this season is one that is blessed by God. In fact, it's one of my favorite seasons in the church, because it is a time not only for reflection, but a great time of renewal as well. And so this morning, as we end our service, there will be a moment for me to pray a blessing of anointing over you, to be prepared for this season, to us together journey together in this time of reflection and ultimately in this time of renewal. And so we'll get to that and we'll welcome you to be a part of that at the end of our service. Our lesson begins about a week before the Passover. The Passover is a momentous celebration in the Jewish faith. It is the day that marks the deliverance of God from the Israelites from the Egyptians. And also on this day, Jesus visits Lazarus, whom we have met before. He was the one that Jesus raised from the dead, and his sisters Martha and Mary. Now, you'll remember Martha was the one that was busy in the kitchen, and she was preparing and getting everything ready for her guest. And perhaps she gets a little frustrated. She says, "Mary, what are you doing?" Well, what was Mary doing? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. And she says, "Mary, come on, help me. There's a lot to be done to get this table and this house ready." But Jesus says, "Martha, you are too worried about too many things. Mary has chosen the best of all the options. So once again, Jesus is at the house of Lazarus, and it's almost like the same scene is playing itself out. Lazarus is the host, getting the guests ready, entertaining them. Martha, surprisingly, in this text, it just tells us she served. That's all, not all, but it says she served. And Mary, remarkably, is once again at the feet of Jesus, but this time in a very particular way. Mary, at the feet of Jesus, anoints them. Now, the word anoint means to set apart. And so she takes about a pint of pure nard. Now, pure nard in those days was extremely expensive. Today, you can probably buy it for pennies. But she takes this perfume that was very special, very expensive, and she anoints his feet. And it's interesting that she anoints his feet, not his head. You know, a priest would anoint the head of someone, but rather she recognizes her position, her posture. She is a servant to her Lord. She is one who is humble, humiliates herself. And so she blesses him at the place where she feels most worthy, his feet. And so she blesses them, pours the nard, and then in a way that was both odd but inappropriate at the time, she lets down her hair and she wipes them, the perfume, her feet with her hair. Now, some of this can be lost to us, but take it in this context. You know, my cologne bottle is what, 250 milliliters? In a cologne bottle, I don't know. I spray about one or two of those things and I feel like my place stinks, you know, for a long time. Now imagine if I broke a bottle of my cologne in this sanctuary. You'd all be gagging. But you'd also be pleasantly surprised because you'd say, it smells like Oscar. It smells so good. But this is, you know, a pint of pure nard. I mean, this is not something that would be missed. You would definitely know that something is happening. Now, Mary, as she's doing this, Judas says, "Oh, but Jesus, you know, with the price that we could have gotten by selling this, we definitely could have given some of that money to the poor." And Jesus replies to Judas, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial." Now, Mary, in this moment of anointing, she's doing this purely as an act of worship, as an act of love. But she had no foreknowledge whatsoever that in a week's time, the very Lord that she is blessing would be dead. And so, in one way, Jesus understands that this anointing is an anointing of preparation, an anointing of being ready for what is ahead. Now, Jesus was being anointed because he would face death. Now, you and I, we may not be facing death, but perhaps there are many things that stand before us that could shake us. Or perhaps we need to be anointed or reminded once again that we are a people who are set apart for God. This is Lent and a season of preparation. And so in the same way that Jesus was anointed for his season, for his life, we also must be anointed for the season of Lent and the journey, the hard journey that it is for us, and that journey of renewal, of repentance. And so we want to enter into this season anointed by God. Now, I'm going to shift our focus quite a bit now to, we've focused on Lent, but now I want to focus on a whole different dynamic. And particularly, this is a dynamic that I think the text is asking us, but not so implicitly. And what I mean by this is I think the text also wants us to kind of think about two things. The first is, who are the types of people that Jesus surrounds himself with? And secondly, who are you in relation to these characters? You might see yourself in one or you might see yourself in many of them, but we need to know where we are, which characters we represent, and also where we're growing and where we're going to go into. And so let's start with the easiest one here. And the first one is Martha. Now, the text tells us that Martha, she served. That's all it tells us. But we know a little bit more about Martha. We know that she was a worrier. She worried about many things. She wanted to make sure that everything was taken care of. And tradition has often painted her as a busybody that was distracted. But she really wasn't distracted, but rather she had a great desire to be a good hostess. You know, and this makes sense. You know, when you get invited to somebody's house, there's some preparation that you kind of expect to already be done. You go to somebody's house at 6, you're kind of expecting dinner probably around 6:30. But you don't go to someone's house and they say, "Oh, was that today? Well, my goodness. I guess let's get something going." No. The truth is, we need Marthas. Now, Martha is really more the definition of a deacon. She's compassionate. She's not only looking out for the needs of others, but she wants to include others into her service and into her work. And one of the things that Martha really reminds us, though, is that people who serve can sometimes go at it alone, and they can get very upset when no one seems to be helping or seems to be surrounded by them. So Jesus surrounds himself with people who love to serve, but they also run very dry, and so they also need to be refreshed. Now, Mary is the second person that we meet, and gosh, who doesn't want to be Mary, right? Mary is the one that is the most attentive to Jesus. I mean, she sits at his feet and listens. She worships him. And the way that she worships and is attentive to him is very interesting. Mary doesn't care what you and I would think about her. She really could care less what we think about her. She will worship her Lord. She will worship her Savior with everything that she has. And if she looks silly, if people think, "Oh my gosh," she just doesn't care what we think about her, because she will worship her Lord unashamedly. Now, when I think of Mary, I think to myself, okay, I have been Mary sometimes in my life. There are moments when I feel like, yes, I am sitting at the feet of Jesus. But I don't know if you feel this, but I definitely feel it. There are moments also where I stop being Mary and I become like Martha once again, where I start to serve and I get frustrated because all these other people aren't noticing what I'm doing for them. Or I get frustrated because I'm burning out and I'm doing it all on my own strength and I'm realizing, oh yeah, this was all about God in the beginning, wasn't it? You know, we have all been Mary, but we've also been Martha as well. Now, Mary is what we all aspire to be. It is, I think, who we are becoming. We are becoming those people who are unashamedly worshipful before God. And that's who we are becoming, folks. We aspire to be like Mary. Now, the last person that I think we're asked to identify and see ourselves in is Judas. Now, we need to look at Judas from two angles, okay? And the first one, I'm asking you to put away your biases, put away your judgments about Judas, because you have to remember, for all of the disciples and everybody that encountered Judas, nobody knew what was really going on in his heart. As far as everyone knew, Judas was characterized as someone who was very cautious, very prudent, and very reliable. He looked after meager resources of this group that didn't have a steady or a settled income. And he was always anxious to make sure that their needs were being provided for, but also that there was something left to give to the poor. You know, one of the questions that people have is, Judas just gets up and leaves at the Last Supper. Well, that was actually just like Judas. Judas would always, in his heart, he was someone who was very concerned about the needs of the poor. And so it was customary for him to leave and to go give alms to the poor. In many ways, Judas is like some of us. We want to see the kingdom of God on this earth. And we will be cautious, though, and prudent and reliable. But there's something here as well about Judas, though, and that is that Judas wanted to control too much as well. Judas needed to learn that, yes, the kingdom of God will come. Yes, the kingdom of God can be seen on earth. But we have to also realize that there is a moment of faith, there is a moment of taking risks, and that God will help us in that. He will provide and he'll take away our fear so that we don't always feel like we're having to hold on to our meager resources. But there's also the other side of Judas, the one that we are more familiar with. And I think it's also the reason, in my opinion, why Lent is important. You know, one of the things that is interesting about Judas and the relationship he had with Jesus is that Jesus knew Judas better than Judas knew himself. Jesus knew that Judas would betray him, and yet, this is very remarkable, folks, yet Jesus kept him very close. But not only close, but literally, Judas was one of those 12 disciples that was able to lay his head on the heart of Jesus. There was an intimacy there. There was a love there that Jesus had. Even though Jesus knew ultimately his outcome. One of the things that we have to be, and I'm reminded of, and I'm glad that Judas is in the picture, is because we have all been Judas at some way or the other as well. We have all sinned against God. We have all been very close to grace, and yet we have not understood it for ourselves either. And because God is patient, long-suffering, meaning that he will put up with a lot so that we might forgive, be forgiven, and come to repentance, Jesus has people like Judas around him as well. People that he hopes and that he cheers and that he encourages, that they can also be renewed and restored. And so when I think of Judas, I think to myself, yes, I am like Judas as well. But I'm so thankful that Jesus doesn't push away a Judas, but yet keeps him here, loves him, ministers to him. And folks, how many of us have found ourselves at that very same place, and yet we have also sinned? So today, whether we are busy servants who have run dry, or we aspire to be like a Mary, or perhaps we need to take risks like Judas, or perhaps we need to be forgiven and repent, this is a season to be ready, a season to be set apart for us, a season of Lent. And so if you'll close your eyes with me, I'd love to say a blessing of anointing over you. So if you welcome it, please receive it. Gracious God, I pray now for those of us here who are open to receive what your Holy Spirit has for us. I pray, Holy Spirit, that as you enter into our hearts, that this season we are set apart, anointed, for a time of renewal, a time of refreshing. And so, Jesus, in this season which we are set apart for, we ask that great repentance, great renewal would take place in our lives, but, Lord, great refreshing as well. And so, Lord, bless us in this season of Lent. We receive now your anointing. We are set apart. We are prepared. And so, Lord, lead us now in this journey. And so, gracious God, I ask once again, by your Holy Spirit, like a wind blowing in this sanctuary, anoint your people that welcome and receive this blessing, a blessing of preparation. In your name we pray. Amen.